Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe challenges you to be set apart for purity.
That's God's will for your life, that you not be like everybody else, but that you realize my life, my body, my mind, my destiny belong to God. I am a child of God, called for the purposes of God, by the standards of God. I've been set aside for God's purposes.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago and President of Moody Bible Institute. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Our series is Defiance, Turn Your World Upside Down. And we're going to get to that message on purity in a few moments, but let me ask you about that word defiance, Mark. What are you not saying by using that word?
Well, I'm not talking about revolt. I'm not talking about uprising. I'm talking about defiance from a spiritual perspective. And I think when believers start to live in the radical purity and holiness that God has called us to, when a 23-year-old young girl decides, my body belongs to God, and my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and when I date, I will date in purity, and I will hold my sexuality until the marriage when I say I do. That's radical. That's defiant. Mm-hmm. That makes people say, what? That's the kind of defiance I'm talking about.
It's countercultural, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I believe the Bible is counterculture. If you're a believer and really living out the standards of holiness that God has called us to, you will actually raise eyebrows in our culture.
Well, there's no question, but there is a call to purity. Let's understand it now better as we turn to God's Word, and here's Mark Jobe.
How many of you know sometimes if you preach the Word, not everybody's going to like you all the time if you stand up for the things that count for God? Sometimes you're going to be run out of town. Paul was run out of town because he was preaching the Word. And some people didn't like what he was preaching, so he only had 3 weeks to establish a church. Think about it. There were no Bibles because the New Testament had not been written. They had an Old Testament. Most people didn't have the scrolls. Think about it. They heard about Jesus in 3 weeks. He can't email them to see how they're doing. Can't give them a cell phone call. Hey, how you doing? Keeping in the Word? He can't Facebook them a passage of Scripture in his favorite topic. No. There's no way of connecting with them. He preaches the Word to them, and then he has to leave. And so he's worried about them. He's wondering how they're doing. He's talked to them about a lot of topics. One of the topics he talked to them about was the second coming of Christ. Do you realize that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming again? Some of you it scares. Others of you like, yeah, come Lord Jesus, I'm ready. Well, he had talked to them about the second coming of Christ, that Jesus Christ will come again. And some of them had taken it so literally, they thought Jesus was coming like next week. So some of them had quit their jobs. They said, why am I going to farm? Why am I going to plant? I'm just going to quit my job, preach the gospel, and get ready for the coming of Jesus. And Paul was saying, hold on, slow down a bit. We can't have the whole church unemployed waiting around for the coming of Jesus. Because people are going to come in from the outside and think you're loony. And plus, you're going to have to live off of Aunt Matilda's retirement fund, and that's not good. And people are going to come in and say, hey, why aren't these people working? And so you'll find in 1 Thessalonians that Paul says, hey, get a job, work hard, throw yourself into it so you can be a good testimony to the outsiders. But one of the topics he had to deal with as well was the topic of sexual purity. Because like in the days of Paul, similar to our days, the standard of purity was all over the place. In fact, the Apostle Paul was writing from the city of Corinth. He was writing this letter from a city that was a little bit further away from Thessalonica called Corinth. As he wrote this letter, he could look out the window of his house and see on the, I've been to Corinth, it's in Greece, there's the ruins of the old city of Corinth. And up upon the hill, Paul could look out his window and see up on the hill there was the temple of Diana, the goddess of fertility. The sailors would come into Corinth And the first place they would want to go is to the temple. You know why? There were 1,000 temple prostitutes. And part of going to church for them was they would go visit a temple prostitute, and part of their all their religious services were having sex in the temple with the temple prostitutes. So this was a crazy, out-of-control city where all kinds of things were going on. And the Apostle Paul is writing the Thessalonians, and he's saying, hey, if you're going to live for Jesus, one of the areas that your defiant living is going to show up more than anywhere else is in the way you manage your sexuality. Now, some people don't think we should be talking about sex in church. They say, are you going to talk about the three-letter S-E-X word in church? I mean, Pastor, is that appropriate? Hold on a second. If we don't talk about in the house of God, if we don't talk about the principles, the values, how God wants us to manage this area, then when we're going to learn about it from MTV? Is that who's going to teach us? Hey, the Bible has a lot to say about sex. Did you know that? And by the way, sex is not a dirty word. It's not a bad word if you understand it. Let me just put this in parenthesis and tell you that God is the designer of sex. He invented it. He engineered it. It's a good God-given gift. Sometimes you hear no, 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 don't, bad, bad, bad. But really, it's God that engineered it, created it. It's good. It's a gift. It's great. And it's a gift that God has given to every individual to be fully enjoyed in the context of a committed relationship called marriage. So, Paul's talking to them. I want to read to you what it tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, finally then. Now, he's only halfway through the letter and he says, finally. It's kind of like me when I'm preaching. For my final point, and then I go on for 20 minutes. See, Paul had the same problem. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you are to walk and please God, just as you actually do, that you excel still more, for you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. So if you're taking notes today, I want you to jot this down. I want to talk to you about the will of God concerning managing your body and your sexuality. By the way, the Romans had some of the same value systems that we have today. One of the writers of the ancient world during that time, his name was Demosthenes. He talked about the view of men towards sex in the day that they were that this letter was written. And the Roman Empire view of sexuality, he says, we keep prostitutes for pleasure, we keep mistresses for the day-to-day needs of the body, and we keep wives for the faithful guardianship of our homes. Voila. That was a little bit of the culture that existed in that day and a little bit of the sort of mentality that people had, even in the days as Paul was writing. So as Paul addresses these believers, he's saying, if you're going to live all the way for Jesus, one of the places that you're going to be tested big time is in the area of managing your body and your sexuality. You're going to flow counter to the values of this world in this area. Notice what he says. I exhort you, brethren, we request and exhort you. That means I beg you. It's a strong emotion. We beg you. We admonish you. It's an exclamation point. Paul's saying, I feel really strongly about this. In the Lord Jesus, he's saying, this is not my opinion. This is God's word, Jesus Christ. That as you receive this instruction about how you ought to walk and please God, that you excel still more. He was telling them, hey, you're doing pretty good right now, but how many of you know the Christian walk is never, I've arrived and I'm there. Let me kick back, fold my arms behind my head, kick my feet on the couch and say, I've arrived. If that's your mentality, it's because you're comparing yourself to your neighbors, but not comparing yourself to Jesus Christ. Because if you're comparing yourself to Jesus Christ, you know that it's from glory to glory to glory, that you and I have a long way to go, that we have not arrived. If Jesus is our standard, then we have a long way to go. How about it? Yeah, a long way to go. So if you think you've made it, then I'm going to ask you, so are you like Jesus? Just because you're not cussing, drinking, and sleeping on the weekends, listen, you sleeping around on the weekends, I'm not sure you've arrived yet. We got a ways to go. So, he goes on to say, for you know that what commandments we gave you by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God is full of the authority of the Word. This is not Paul's opinions or suggestions. This is the Word. By the way, that's why when you come here on Sunday, you won't hear me preach out of suggestions from Pastor Mark book. No, that's not the book I preach out of. I preach out of the Bible because it's not suggestions for good living or opinions about how to make your life better. This is the inspired, infallible Word of God breathed by the Holy Spirit. So what you hear me preach are not suggestions, they are commands. They are given by God Most High via the Holy Spirit so that when we live them, we are living them in line with God. Amen? So you know the commands by the authority of Jesus Christ. And then he gets into the meat of this. He says, verse 3, for this is the will of God. Have you ever asked, what's God's will? How many of you have ever asked that? I wonder what God's will is. What is God's will? God's will is his plan. His purposes. So he says, this is God's will. You want to know what God's will is? Look it. It's right there. For this is God's will. This is God's plan and purpose for your life. He says, your sanctification. Some of you are looking at me like, what? Sanctification. Sanctification is a word that we hear, but we're not always sure exactly what it means. The word sanctification is where we get the word saint from. It's also where we get the word holy from. The same root word for holy and sanctify simply mean this, to be set apart unto God.
Let's pause for just a moment. You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. For more tools and resources designed to help you live out your faith with bold confidence, visit boldstepsradio.org. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our new Bold Stepper Weekly before Monday morning rolls around. Let Mark inspire you this coming week with his latest Bold Step story and ministry update. This weekly email is delivered right to your inbox each Monday morning, and you won't want to miss it. Our web address once more is boldstepsradio.org. Sign up for the Bold Stepper Weekly. Mark has much more to say now about purity, so let's jump back into today's important message.
Set apart unto the purposes of God. By the way, if you read the New Testament, the Apostle Paul oftentimes, when he's speaking to the believers, he calls them saints. He says, I write this to the saints in Ephesus or the saints in Thessalonica. And you may wonder, what saints live there? I'm not sure. Were there special saints that lived there? No. Saint means to be set apart. We, according to Scripture, you and I are saints because we are set apart unto God to live for Him. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a saint. Now, some of you don't see yourselves that way. Say saint and now use your name. Go ahead. How's it feel? Kind of weird. Some of you say, I like the sound of it. That doesn't mean that you've reached a level of spirituality that there's some sort of little halo that's going to start to appear over your head and like a little rainbow and you polish it once in a while. No, that's not the idea. The idea is that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are set aside unto God. You've been set aside for the purposes of God. You've been sanctified unto God. So he says, listen, this is God's will, your sanctification. That means that you would begin to live as a person that's set apart for the purposes of God. That's God's will for your life, that you not be like everybody else, but that you realize my life, my body, my mind, my destiny belong to God. I am a child of God, called for the purposes of God, by the standards of God. I've been set aside for God's purposes. Your sanctification. Now let me say this, we are all sanctified, but we have to let our lifestyle catch up with who we are. It is, you are holy already, but we don't all live and act like we're holy. That's the process of sanctification in our life, so that we, from day to day, glory to glory, we are transformed, we're maturing, we're becoming more like Jesus, more destined to the purposes that he's called us to live in. So he says, for this is God's will, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Now the word there for sexual immorality is the word in the Greek porneia. That's where we get our English word pornography from. Porneia means, it's a broad word referring to any sexual relationships outside of the marriage covenant. So God has given you the energy, the energy, the gift of sexual energy. It's a good thing. God created you with it. From the moment that you were born, you were created as male or female. And when you reach the years of puberty, there's a change that happens. Suddenly, there's an attraction towards the opposite sex that begins to kick in. How about it? I've had 3 children. I have a 12-year-old son right now, and I know the drill. I know that when they're 9 and the girls have cooties and, let's stay away from them. They're the bad ones. Yuck, you hang around with her. I know that's the whole thing. Then suddenly the tween years kick in. Puberty kicks in. And suddenly they're in the mirror trying to fix their hair for a half hour, watching what they're going to dress. Now it's kind of when a girl walks in the room, they kind of strut different, try to act a little cool. Why? There's an awareness there. Suddenly those hormones have kicked in, and there's an attraction that begins to kick in, and they start flirting around with boyfriend, girlfriend. She likes him, he likes her. Why? Because there's that God-given attraction built in by God to begin to be attracted to the person of the opposite sex. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing, as long as it's managed. Every single drive that God has given us is good, but when it's mismanaged, it can actually hurt us. God has given you the appetite for food, right? So when you sanctify the appetite for food, set it apart unto God and manage it well, then it nourishes and strengthens your body. If you let it go out of control, then it can turn into overeating, gluttony, or some sort of eating disorder, bulimia, anorexia. And when you let the appetite for food get out of control, it can dominate your life. Is it a bad appetite? No, it's a good appetite. It just can't get out of control. God has given you the appetite or desire for sleep. Sleeping regenerates your body. It causes your muscles to grow when they're tired. And if you go too long without it, your body craves it. Did that ever happen to you? You're driving, and man, you just like trying to, like your body's saying, the hum of the road, the darkness there, just nice, and your body says, this would be a good time for a nap. And you got to roll down your window, slap yourself in the face, crank the hard rock music just to keep you awake. That ever happened to you in church? Come on, pastor, now you're picking on us a little bit, It's nice and warm. The soothing voice of the pastor. I've had people come and tell me, Pastor, I just want to tell you, I've had a hard time sleeping, and it's really hard to go to sleep. And so, I put in your CDs, and I just listen to your teaching just to help. It helps me go to sleep. I'm happy. I'm helping you with your insomnia. Just don't get used to it, though. You come to church, and then you fall asleep, okay? So sleeping is a good thing, but if we oversleep, it turns into laziness. It turns into, the Proverbs talks about the lazy person that doesn't want to get out of bed. And so it's a good thing, but if we allow it to manage us and don't bridle it and don't channel it, then it can become destructive in our life. And so it is with sexuality. It's a energy that God has given to both man and women to attract them to one another, and it serves wonderfully in the context of marriage to draw couples to each other over and over, to enhance intimacy and to bring about babies. It's a great tool that God has given us. However, it has to be managed in a way or it can turn into a huge destructive force in our life. And so the Apostle Paul is telling them about this, and he says, I want you to know that it's God's will, your sanctification, that you abstain from immorality. Now, here's what I've learned about abstaining from immorality. Listen to me well. Chicago, for example, is infamous for its potholes after the wintertime, right? I mean, it's like driving through Mine City. There's all these big holes. Some of them will swallow up your car if you're not careful. And so after the wintertime, all of us driving around Chicago, we know we're swerving and looking out because there's a pothole coming up. None of us shoot for the potholes. At least none of us in our right mind shoot for the potholes. We try to avoid them, right? And when we hit them last winter, I wasn't paying attention. I hit a pothole and it gave me a flat tire. Like, wow, how could I have done that? Before I knew it, I hit it. Once I hit it, it was too late. I didn't want to swerve and I hit it. I wasn't intentionally going for the pothole, but I wasn't being careful. I wasn't looking. I wasn't attentive. And here's the thing. Immorality is that way. If you don't determine in advance that you are going to guard your life and guard your sexuality and make a determination in advance that you're going to sanctify your sexuality to God, then you're not shooting for those potholes, but I can guarantee you will hit one of those potholes. Because unless you determine in advance that you're going to watch out, drive careful, make it your intention not to fall, then you're setting yourself up for a fall. Number two. That you learn how to manage your body, set apart, and with high value. So remember, whatever you feed your mind, garbage in, garbage out. Verse 4, it says, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification. That each of you, talking to Christians, know how to, that word possess is manage. That each of you know how to manage or steward his own vessel. What's our vessel? Our body. So that each of us knows how to manage our body in what? In sanctification. Manage our body in a way that we set our body and our sexual energy aside to God. We set it apart unto God. We say, I'm going to manage it the way you want me to manage it, God. And in honor. That word honor means high value.
With the first part of our message titled The Call to Purity, we're wrapping up another week of bold Bible messages here on Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe. To hear this message again, or if you'd like to hear any of Mark's previous messages, just go to boldstepsradio.org.
Here in the Midwest, most of the farmers have finished up this year's harvest. But knowing when to harvest high-value crops can be confusing when you don't have knowledge about how farming works. Now, you may be asking, what does corn and bean harvesting have to do with today's Bible study? And I'm glad you're asking that question. Harvesting takes place when the crops are mature. So if the harvest comes too soon, there's less yield. It's this way with us too. Sometimes God takes us through periods of crisis, change, and transition like we're experiencing in this country right now, so that he can bring about renewal and revival, which leads to a better harvest. As individuals, we need to experience revival in our own lives before we can share that experience with the world as a body of believers. And that's the topic of our Bold Steps gift, a book called The Reappearing Church. It's yours when you give a donation to support the ministry of Bold Steps. Ask for it today when you call 844-615-7363, or you can visit us online at boldstepsradio.org.
Now, if it's easier, you can send your donation and request for the book in the mail. Just write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. That's 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And then before we go, don't forget that this daily program can be accessed in a variety of ways. You can hear us each weekday on your local radio station, or you can catch us online at boldstepsradio.org. We're also available through your smart speakers at home or in the office. Just say, "Hey Alexa, play Bold Steps with Mark Jobe," and then you're ready to go. Listen anytime, anywhere. I'm Wayne Shepherd, wishing you a wonderful weekend. Be sure to join us again Monday when Mark continues this discussion on the call to purity. It's part of our Defiance series, and you'll hear it here on the Monday edition of Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.